to start off with. Number one is Romans 13, 1 through 7. Second scripture is Hebrews 1, verse 3. And let me give you this third scripture here. It's going to be in Isaiah. This is going to be Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. And we're dealing with the importance of authority. Lesson one, the importance of authority. And so the first topic you can put down for that is God's throne is established on authority. We're going to try to explain what authority is, why we need to function under authority, and thirdly, why we need to understand authority. What authority is, why we need to function under authority, and what the last one I said? See if y'all listening. Right. And then third, we need to understand what really is all about. All right? I know y'all don't have y'all books yet, but open your Bible to Romans 13, begin at verse 1. How many of us have had any teaching on spiritual authority before? Anybody have any classes on it before? Nobody really? Okay. Romans 13 and 1. It says, underline this word every. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Now this power here can be translated as authority. If you look in the Greek, it's translated as authority. So let every soul mean he was talking to Christians and unbelievers. Because there's a world system of government that we have to be established by and submit to. And there's a spiritual governance system that we have to submit to and be governed by. So he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher authorities. There's authority in both worlds, and you need to understand that. He said, for there is no power, or underline power because I want to use the word authority. There's no power, and I thought it was a profound statement in the Bible, but of God. Now, you think on that. Salah. There's no power or no authority but of God. Without God, there's nothing. I mean, that's nothing. I can't say it no other way. Whosoever therefore resisted, now resist is another word for rebellion. People don't like the word rebellion. You know why I don't like the word rebellion? Because sometimes it make them seem like a bad person. You're not a bad person. How would I say that? Rebellion is only, there's some areas that you haven't submitted in. And the reason why I'm studying and talking a little slow, because there's always some area we rebel in, but it don't make you a bad person. And some people rebel unknowingly. And they've rebelled so long, it become customary. It become a way of life. And the sad thing is they don't know they're rebelling. They're rebelling unconsciously. And so I see it in the church all the time. They're good people. I'm not coming back out here on no Tuesday night. I don't care what the pastor say. But they don't know that's rebellion. And you tell them that and they think you cursed them or something, you know. And so they have to come to an understanding why God set up authority. It's not to govern you. It's not to make you feel like you're under a dictator or rulership. But God has a plan. God began this plan in Genesis 3:15 when he told Satan he gonna bruise his heel. And I forget how the scripture go, but we know he was talking about sending Jesus through the lineage.
Right.
And each one of those people God used had to come through God's order of authority and through obedience. So if God got a plan in this earth realm, there has to be some type of submission to authority so God can get his plan done in the earth realm. So God has a plan that we got to submit to, but he got to use men and women to put in authority to be able to carry this plan out. And people, so sometimes people think it's just dictatorship or it's just you trying to run and rule my life. Yes, he is trying to direct you to do something God wants you to do. Yes, he's ruling. People don't like that word, rule. But it's biblical. Ruling means not running your life. Because it's ruling from the spiritual realm. And God. Now, who in here don't have rules in their house when their children were growing up? Their children must be wayward and gone head to hell. When I grew up, we had rules. We couldn't stay out past dark. We had certain things we had to submit to, and so I did think they were trying to, just run my life, but I didn't understand it. You get older and you understand it. So rules, write this down because you're going to hear this again, reveal rebellion. Without any rules, you don't know you're breaking the law. So if you want to know your children rebellious, give them some rules. And so that's one way God governs us. And that's one way God tests us. He gives us the Bible full of rules. We might not call it rules. It might be underlined as commandments. And if you do this, God say, I'll do that. But if you don't do this, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And, but my point is this, that all these things God set in place to train us, to govern us, to see what's in our heart, to put us in a position where he can use us. If you be willing, and what? You'll eat the good of the land. But then you got another part to that scripture. But if you rebel, you just flip that scripture. You're not going to eat any good of the land. So the point of being here is you got to understand why God set authority in position. If you don't understand why God set authority in position, you're gonna think it's harsh, and you're gonna think it's just somebody just trying to be a lord over you and a master. No, it's not. It's not that. God trying to get something to us. But I'm just this intro, okay? Introduction. But you got to be broken sometimes. And people don't like to be broke. I remember, I told this story to my last year's class. I remember this man had a horse. My neighbor had a horse. And the horse wouldn't take a saddle. I mean, you put a saddle on me, a bucket off. Put a saddle on you, a bucket off. So what he did, he tied sandbags on his horse's back and weighed him down. And the horse couldn't hardly walk. He put too many sandbags. You know what the horse said? Give me the saddle. Take these bags off me, man. So he was full broke to the saddle. Sometimes God got to do a little forward breaking to get us, to do what he really designed for us to do willfully. We don't always want to obey. That's just human nature. It go against everything my brain says sometimes. My knowledge says to obey. Just don't make no sense. I'll stop at a red light. I'm right here on 22 going up. I'm leaving church late, and I'm sitting at a red light by myself. Nothing coming from the north, south, east, west, but I'm stuck at this dumb light. Don't want to obey it, but it's ruling me right now. I can't go because I got to submit to this light. I could run it if I want. I was tempted to many times. I said, who's going to see me? But my point is this, sometimes we don't want to obey.
That's right.
Wonder why we got to obey. But God set this thing in place to train us and to teach us and to instruct us. But guess what? He's got to use men and women that he put in authority to do this. And so I'm trying to get us to understand, you know, people don't want to listen to the apostles, don't want to listen to their pastor. They want to do what they want to do anyway, and God trying to get something to us. Mm-hmm. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
It's truth anyway.
Yes, sir.
Whether it makes sense or not. This is not about sense. It's about truth. Okay. Now let's look at this third verse, I think. Okay. Whosoever therefore resisted, that word. That sounds like rebellion. Rebellion always has some resistance to it. His power or the authority resisted the ordinance of who? Sometimes people, you know, you would think at that red light, I would resist in the red light if I were to run it. No, God's behind all this stuff. You see, law enforcement. God govern all that. And people see the officer, it's got an officer right there. People see that, but they don't see who really behind the law. The law is made to protect, keep us from harm, harming ourselves, but people see it as something as a hindrance. You know? You remember the speed limit 55, stay alive? That was a few years ago, you know, when they drop it to 55. Well, that was supposed to save lives, they say. But that was a law to protect. But people didn't understand that. They didn't honor it. But you see my point I'm trying to get. So God set laws in place to govern and to keep people from destroying themselves, really.
Yeah.
And so every time someone resisted the law, punishment came. They either died. Ground opened up. We're going to look at some of those Old Testament instances of rebellion. The ground opened up. Fire fell from the sky, burned people to a toast. And so, was it God? No, we're fixing to find out in a little bit here. They resisted the orders of God, and they brought to themselves damnation, the Bible says. Let's look at it. You think I'm just making that up? No, I'm not. For rulers, now let's the second verse. And they that resist shall receive to themselves their damnation. You see that? God not putting any evil on anybody. People put evil on themselves. For rulers, excuse me, are not eternal to good work, but to the evil. Now I gotta think along this line because I like to teach with a little visual because it helped me to see when I can understand what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And so rulers are not a terror to good work. You know, I sometimes be talking about, if you driving the speed limit and you pass by the officer in the car, you waving because you got good work. But if you're breaking the law, that's a little fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Because you're breaking the law and you're looking to see if there's any peace officer behind you or in your rearview mirror or whatever because you know you're breaking. You're not even relaxed. I can't drive relaxed when I'm speeding because I'm always looking. You always looking too, huh? But here's the point of what I'm saying is that it's not a terror. Rules are not a terror to when you're doing what's right. They're a terror when you're doing something wrong. That's when they become your offense to you. That's when they become your enemy. But when the police patrol your neighborhood, they're your friend. Saying, "What? You want to go give them a bottle of water out there?" I bought one breakfast. I was in the store. I said, can I buy you a breakfast? He said, yeah. I kind of shocked him a little bit. But you want to bless them when you're doing good. So rules are not a terror to good work, but to what? What's that next verse? To evil. When you're doing something wrong. So rulers are for evildoers. For punishment of evildoers. Now, why this now? Why? this next verse. For rules are terrors are not a terror to good words, but to the evil. Would thou then not be afraid of the power or of the authority? We're supposed to fear the power. You know, I say I got an answer to crime. You know what my answer to crime is? Let the punishment to the crime be equal to the crime. People ain't afraid of no jail time no more. If they caught you stealing back in the old days, they cut your hand off. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you know somebody get their hand cut off and you stealing stuff, and guess what? I'm going to think twice about stealing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the punishment ain't meeting the crime, so people ain't got nothing to fear. They ain't scared no little jail time. They do that with one leg, hopping on one leg. They get their summer break. Going to jail. They get 3 meals a day, all the exercise they want. They come back. Well, my nephew came back from jail so big and strong. I said, God, no, man, what you been doing? He enjoyed that time off. He got physically fit. I mean, muscle big as this. I said, all right, you enjoy your jail time. But they're not afraid because you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you'll think twice. You'll think twice. Now, look what this next part says here. Let's see. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of who? Of God. You see that? Ruler. Now, we're talking about worldly rulers. They're ministers of God. We don't look at them as ministers of God. We look at them as somebody just trying to mishandle you or something. I was coming from Atlanta one time, and I was passing through New Orleans, and I got in a big argument with a policeman, and I had to go to pray to the Lord, and I'm in a van, and you know I got luggage all stacked up. To the back glass, I couldn't see through the back glass. All I had was my side mirrors to look through. And he said, I followed you for 2 miles, and you didn't stop. I said, what? I might have cussed back then, because I don't know if I was safe. I said, how can I see you when I can't see your lights? He had them little lights in the grill, and he had none on top. And so we got in a little argument. Give me 2 tickets. One for speeding and one for disobeying the traffic officer. Amen. But he wasn't. I didn't praise him that day. You see what I'm saying? But if it was for good, I would have praised him. You see, but I was wrong. I guess I was wrong. I got a ticket. I guess I was wrong. So look at this next part here now. Look at the next part here. For he's the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the 9mm, whatever they carry now, he don't bear it in vain. You see it? I had another police officer. He came to the Bible college. Man, we were good friends. And he had got convicted, but he said, man, I don't know if I'm going to carry no gun. I said, you better carry no gun. I said, God ordained you to carry that. He got spiritual on me. He wanted to quit the police force and everything. Because he had trouble. You know, you get saved, boy. You fall in love with everybody. You don't want to kill a mosquito. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But he won't get rid of guns. Man, you better carry your gun. And I show him the scripture. I said, you don't bear the sword in vain. I said that's the peace between you and the fool. And so he came to understand that scripture, that he was in order carrying a gun. He bear not the sword in vain. You see it? Now that means if you got to use it, and even if you got to take somebody out, that's his job. And say, well, God hold him, he doing his job. You know, I thought about David. David slayed 1,000 of people. But they were in the will of God, fighting the enemies. But at the same time, this same David, when he killed his woman's husband, God dealt with him seriously. You see the difference? That's a big difference. You see, the will of God is the ultimate thing. You see, make sure you're in the will of God. All right? Now, that's enough for this one. Then let's move on to the next scripture. And that next scripture is Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 and 3. What am I showing you now? I'm showing you the importance of authority, where authority comes from, and why there is authority. Now, I'm going to give you some definition on what is authority, a defining word for authority, so you can have it in your notes, so you can know what the definition that I expect you to have when I put it on the test, and not your own definition of what you think authority is. You might be right, and you might be close, but we ain't throwing the horseshoe. Neither no hand grenade. You just got to get close, you see. Now, Hebrews 1 and 3. You see it?
Amen.
Who being, now we're talking about Jesus here, who being the brightness of his glory. See, his is God's glory. Jesus being the brightness of God's glory. In other words, Jesus was the express image. Jesus was a mirror. Jesus was a reflection. Jesus was everything God is. That's what Jesus was. You see? So when Jesus came down from heaven, he was everything God is and was. All right? So he's expressed image. He's expressed image of his glory. He's the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. I mean, he was God in the flesh. You see what so far? But here's the point, though. Here's the part I'm going to get to, the B part of this verse. And upholding all things, everybody say all things.
All things.
Upholding all things by the word of his power. Now when you read the book, Brother Negro said, upholding all things by the word of his power, of his authority. Now that brings more clarity to what we're trying to bring out. Jesus was holding. When he created the world, the earth revolved on its axle a certain degree, a certain speed, everything in its order. The sun is so much distance from the earth. Somebody say if it was a fraction of a millimeter closer, it will burn up. I don't know how all the scientific things go, but he withholding all of those things, the atmosphere, the air we breathe, the mixture of the water and the air and all this complicated stuff science is still trying to figure out. He upholding all things by the word of his power, of his authority. Now why we had to put the word of power authority? Because we're going to find out that power is one thing, but authority is something else. That's why we bring this out. The word of his power, of his authority. Why he didn't say uphold all things by the power of his word? Because it's different. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. See, what happened is, God said, let there be light. God is authority, and his word only released his authority. And that word became power. God released his power through his authority. You see? You see what I'm saying? Even the word carry authority, but the power, the origin is God, who is authority.
Right.
And so when he speaks, that authority go out, we call that power. Am I making sense?
Yes.
When the word is released, power released from God. God said, let it be light, power came out. And there was light. And everything God said, everything obeyed him. The earth obeyed him. The water obeyed Jesus. The wind obeyed Jesus in the ship. Peace be still. Everything came to a call because Jesus released his authority. What kind of man is this? We ain't never seen a man speak in such authority, they said. Jesus knew his authority from God. And he knew all the elements of the earth is subject to him. All things are subject to Jesus. And guess what? He in us. Boy, that's powerful there. So everything got to be subject to us when we're in line with God's will. Speak the word only. And I, you remember that? And that servant should be healed. He said, because I know you're a man of authority. You say, this man go and he go, another man do this and he do this. He said, just speak the word only. You ain't got to come to my house. Just speak the word. This man understand. Jesus said, I have no founds. He called that faith. I have not found so much greater faith, not in all Israel. Jesus understood that this man knew something. Yeah. This man was on to something, you see. And so this man understood something that Jesus had been looking for a long time. He said, I found faith upon the earth. He called it faith. I found authority. Somebody know how to release my authority upon the earth. Wow. The man understood. God want us to understand the same thing about authority. You see it? We have authority. We have unused authority that we don't understand how to appropriate it and how to call it to move in our behalf. We're more than you think you are. God created us like that to have authority, to have dominion. You read Genesis and have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over everything. You see? Now Satan's job was to come and take that dominion from us. See, and we're going to read that in Isaiah 14. That can be our next scripture. Matter of fact, turn to that now so we can look at that. I'm not covering much ground, but this is just intro, okay?
It's good.
This is intro. So we're going on Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Let's see what verse we're going to look at. Let's see, Isaiah 14 and 12. Okay. Now, what we're about to discuss, let me give you these definitions before I go too far. What is authority? You ready to write? It's the power to give orders or right to direct. I'm going to read it more than once. Or control someone or something. I'm going to read it again. Now, I want you to understand this. I want this to make sense to you. Authority is the power, all right, and God has it all, to direct or to control someone. See, people don't like that word control. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's you got too much control. Well, control is a good thing. You don't control your car, and you see where you're going to end up. So all God's trying to do is control us, not in a controlling manner, but to put us in the right direction. But we got a problem with words and not understanding what God is trying to say or do. Oh, not at all. And we get offended by the word control. I've seen people, oh, that's control. That's the controlling spirit. They get spiritual too. That's a controlling spirit. No, you just don't understand what God's trying to do. And some people do have controlling spirit. I'm not denying that. But sometimes God's trying to get something to us. And so for God to get something to us, he had to put somebody over us that's able to direct us, you know, to give direction and control to someone or something. Let me read one more time, somebody, so you can get it. The power or right to control someone or something. The power or right to direct, I'm sorry, or control someone or something. All right, you got that? Now, let me give you a definition of power. Remember, I said authority and power are different, all right? Power is the ability to act. See, power deals with action. The ability to act or produce an effect. That makes, is it making any kind of spiritual sense? The word power and authority, because it's different. So the power is the release of authority. It's the effects of authority. So when God speaks, there's an effect called power that comes out. So he upholding all things by the word of his power.
All right.
of his authority. You see, that makes kind of bring into understanding where we can grasp it a little bit. So we know the whole purpose of this lesson is not to put people like we do with the horses, to put bit in their mouth. You know, we don't want to put a bit in nobody's mouth. You see, the whole idea is that a person be willing. See, that's, God don't want bits in them. God don't want sandbags and on your back and bits in your mouth. He don't want it. But sometimes you got to pull a little bit sometimes. You got to cut that mouth a little bit sometimes. I rode horses. I know what a horse do. Horses ain't got good sense. They're too powerful for you. So you got to put something that they understand. The whole tender part of their body is their mouth. And you pull that rein. Look what I did one time. That dumb me. Apostle used to ride horses, you know, a while back. And I would go get the horse and warm him up for him in the morning. You know, warm him up. Take the little wildness out. Because in the morning, they're wild. They, you put a saddle on them, they want to run. Because they've been in the stable. They've been in the stable for 2 or 3 days. And you take them out, boy, they want frisky and they want buck and everything, so I got to get the bucking out. So I get on the horse, man, and people want a buck, and I'm trying to, I'm not feeling Cowboy Bill, and he want a buck and everything, and I pulled the rein too far. And all he knows is to keep coming back. And all I know, he's standing on two legs like us. Like what the man name was with the white horse? Lone Ranger. I thought I was the Lone Ranger. But he kept coming over. Oh my God. His horse fell over on me.
Oh my God.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. But that bit, my point is the bit. That bit was controlling him. And I didn't know I was over controlling him. You with me? He just was obeying the bit. I couldn't blame the horse. He just was obeying the bit. He didn't know he was supposed to come that far over. But I didn't know either. But anyway, it happened. So the whole idea is not to be controlling. I got off on the word controlling. You with me? So that's power, right? Okay. Let me give you this statement. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. You understand what we're saying now, right? Now, I'm about to make a statement. You're going to have to chew on a little while. I might have to get to Isaiah next week because I got to get this out. Here's the next statement. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Uh-oh, say, what are you saying that? Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. I'm going to tell you why. Because sin against power is not sin against God himself. See, sin against authority is sin against God. But sin against power is sin against his command, his word, his act, not against God personally. So what am I really saying that? If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's because you sin against power, sin against his commandment. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you make a mistake, you tell a little white lie and you think it's all right, but you get home and your conscience bothering you, you didn't stand against his power. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't tell that lady. I shouldn't tell that man that lie. Forgive me. And then you got to go back to that man or that woman. Well, forgive me. I didn't tell you the whole truth. See, some people try to get away with just confessing to God. You can't just do that. Yeah, Jesus said you got to go with that person first. I wonder who got to go back so much. But anyway, you got to go to the person first, then come back, and God said, I'll clean it up. You see? See, it's working both in. And so the whole point of what I'm saying is that sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because when you sin against authority, you're in rebellion. You sin against God himself. And that's when you sin against God himself, you got to deal with God. That's totally coming against God. And that's what will bring us to Isaiah 14. Satan, the sin that caused Satan to fall, was not his act, but his when he competed against God and won't be like the Most High God, he came against God himself. He came against God personally. You see? And here's another point that people don't like. When you're standing against God's delegated authority, it's like standing against God himself. People don't like that. They don't like that because I'll still submit to God, but I ain't submitting to no man. Well, God, man, represent God. We're going to look at Moses, and we're going to look at Joshua, look at all those leaders that God put in authority. We're going to look at Jesus and look at the apostles. One apostle, I'd rather obey God than men. You see, sometimes you got to obey God, and sometimes you got to not obey men, even though they're in authority. We're going to learn that. Just because they're in authority, I mean, they're right all the time. You see, so you got to know if anybody walk outside the will of God, I don't have to obey. Husband, obey. Wives, obey your husband as long as they submitted to God. When that husband stop being, see, I'm trying to cover 12 things at one time. When that husband stop submitting to God, that no, you have no, you're not an allegiance, under no obligation to obey him. A husband can't make a woman go in a ballroom. You know, I hear people say that, you know, you're supposed to go everywhere, you do what I tell you to do. No, it don't work like that. I use the word ballroom, but it could be other stuff. That's the only thing I could think about. Ballroom. You see, because that was the thing we did when I was coming up. I don't know what to do today. Ballroom. Beer garden. Y'all ain't never heard that one. He'd call it beer garden. I don't know if anybody. Old folks talk. Anyway, my time about up. I got 49 seconds. And let me read this last statement. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because the latter is a sin against God himself. And here's this statement here. I'm going to close on this statement. God alone is authority in all things. All the authorities of the earth are instituted by God. And next week, we're going to take up on the origin of Satan, and we're going to deal with his disobedience. And that's going to be Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 12. Amen. Y'all got it? Amen. All right. Class ended. Go in peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. All right, sir.